just on about soap. Soap. S-O-A-P. But that's not really what I'm going to talk about. I'm going to talk about a personal altar that we all need every day. And SOAP is an acronym. Is that what you call them when you got a letter and then you got words out beside it? So, SOAP. Number one, scripture, observation, application, and prayer. Scripture, observation, application, and prayer. Each of us need a personal altar every day. Why would the love of many wax cold? Why would the church become lukewarm? Because we have forsaken the altar. I spoke to that a little bit this morning. We have forsaken the altar. But every move of God begins at an altar. If you go back to 1 Kings, you'll find there was a great move of God in the time of Elijah that began at an altar. Now, Elijah was a man of God. The Bible says he's a man of God with like passions like you and I. Issues in his life like you and I have. A lack of faith at time like you and I have. He was like us. But yet the Bible says he prayed and it didn't rain. He prayed again and it did rain. But Elijah came up against the prophets of Baal. And his victory started at an altar. And I think he had a personal altar before he had a public altar. I think he had been praying and seeking God and hearing from God before he ever said, I'll take on the prophets of Baal. Let's build an altar. And the God that answers by fire will be God. And we'll serve him. So he had an altar. He had a personal altar, and then he made an altar. Every move of God begins at an altar. Have you found out when you got saved, where did it start at? Personal altar. It might have been at church, it might have been at home, might have been driving down the road in your car, might have been any number of places, but your salvation began at an altar. You went to an altar of prayer, whatever it was. You might have been standing, you might have been kneeling, you might have been on your face, but you repented of your sins at an altar of some type. That's where it begins, at an altar. If we want to see souls saved, we want people coming to salvation, it's only going to come when we build an altar. When the church gets serious and begins to build an altar of prayer again. We've forsaken prayer. We don't have prayer meetings hardly ever any longer. The ones we have on Sunday mornings, very poorly attended. Very poorly attended. We don't start Sunday school till 9:45. Can I ask you a question? How many of you go to work before 8 o'clock every morning? Come on now. If you got a job, you go before 8 o'clock in the morning. Or you're there by 8 at the latest usually, aren't you? I know several of you are there a lot earlier than that. Well, what would happen to you? Stephen can't say this. He ain't going to fire himself. But if you was late, what would happen to you if you were habitually late? What happened? Would they pat you on the back, give you a raise? No, they'd tell you fire, put a boot in the seat of your pants. Wouldn't they? They'd fire you eventually. My point to that is this. We have to be as concerned about a personal altar of prayer as we are about a job, about our grocery shopping, about cleaning our house. I hope you clean your house. About whatever it is you do in life. We first, if we want to see God move, we must build an altar. An altar of prayer somewhere. Our days should start with prayer. If we're going to see our family and friends come to Christ, and if we're truly concerned about their lostness, we will build an altar of salvation. And we'll begin to pray for them and pray about them and do our part to lead them and pray that they'll be quickened by the Holy Spirit of God to become a born-again Christian. We've prayed for some men recently, and one of them has come to Christ. Or he's made it, if he's not totally saved, he's headed that direction. And that's Artie Effinger. He's been coming to church, not just here, but when he went for here, he was going to another church, a Baptist church. He's been coming here with Amanda the last couple of weeks. And boy, what progress has been. What was that when we said, let's pray specifically Let's build an altar of salvation and pray specifically for Artie. Let's pray for specifically for this other, for Rick. And let's pray specifically for these guys that they would become born again Christians. And God has heard that. And he's begun to move, quicken them by the Holy Spirit. It don't happen unless we get sincere. And it's important that we do that. Too many times we just go about our daily lives. We never pray. We're never concerned. But oftentimes on Sunday, we'll come to the front of the church and say, Pastor, pray for my brother. Pastor, pray for my son. Pastor, they're lost. Would you pray for them? But they never build their own altar and pray for their own loved ones or their own friends. They expect others to build the altar for them. You got to build your own altar. So the altar of salvation, or the stones or components of it, are this. Number one, conviction. Sinners must be told that they're sinners. But I don't want to offend them, Pastor. Until they recognize or somebody shows them that they're a sinner, why would they need to change? Or why would they think they need to change? It starts with you and I building the altar by telling them after prayer that they are sinners. So that the Holy Spirit then can quicken them, speak to them, reveal to them, expose them to themselves, their need for a Savior. If we just never confront them, and I'm not meaning to be confrontational in a bad way, but we must let them know the way you're living is not according to the Word of God. And without Him, without Christ, you're lost, you're undone, you're going to go to hell. You've got to be concerned enough that you'll tell them that. I love you enough to make you mad at me. Sometimes we don't want to make them mad. But John 16, verse 7 through 12 says this. Jesus said, nevertheless, it is expedient, or tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin, and of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, because they believed not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of the world is judged. So he's going to go away, and he will reprove the world of sin. His principal work in relation to witnessing and proclaiming the gospel will be that of reproving, and that term means to convict, to expose, to refute, and to convince the world of their lostness. That's his job. So we must begin to pray that the Holy Spirit will be released into people's lives to reprove, to rebuke, to convict, to expose, and to convince them of their need of a Savior. I was convinced one day. You were convinced at some time or another. Somebody spoke to me about Christ. The Holy Spirit then showed me my lostness. You see, Romans 3:23 tells us that everybody needs pardon. Because it says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. You and I are not righteous outside of the blood of Jesus Christ. You and I would be stand condemned if it wasn't for Jesus. You and I would be destined for a burning, tormenting hell if it hadn't been for Jesus through the Holy Spirit exposing us to our lostness and us responding to the need of a Savior. Yet we are complacent, full of apathy, unconcerned about even our closest loved ones, for fear oftentimes of offending them. They'll be much more offended at you as they are tormented in a devil's hell. You may be in heaven rejoicing and enjoying the glories of the Lord, but they're going to be in hell wondering why somebody didn't expose my sin. And it begins at an altar, that God maybe would give us boldness. Secondly, it's belief. One of the stones of component of the altar of salvation is belief or faith. Look at Romans chapter 10, verse 9. Now I'm going to turn with you, be a little slower. It says this, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For whosoever, verse 13, shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The earliest creed of the New Testament church was not that Jesus is Savior, but that Jesus is Lord. And if we call upon Him, and we can't receive Him as Savior without receiving Him as Lord, and we have not taught that strong enough, He can't be your Savior without being your Lord. And if He's not your Lord, He's not your Savior. That's something that people need to know. There needs to be an inward, sincere attitude of the heart. The devils believe in Jesus and tremble. So to say that I believe in Jesus is not enough. To confess that He's a good man is not enough. To confess even He's the Son of God is not enough. You must make confession and have a change of heart through repentance. That brings me to my next point, repentance. Matthew 4:17. Be the words of Jesus says this, from that time Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent. We must repent. Repent means to turn around, change your mind, change your ways, a change. Repentance. I was once lost, now I'm found. I was a sinner, but now I'm not. I changed. I confessed my sins. It made a difference in my life. Mark 6:12. Goes like this. And they went out and preached that men should repent. And they went out and preached that men should repent. And they went out and preached that men should repent. And they cast out devils and anointed with oil many that were sick and healed them. Who was that? The ones that Jesus sent out. The church as it was at that time. His 12 disciples. He sent them out. And they preached that men should repent. So we have to preach also that men should repent. And then it brings us to confession. We have conviction, belief, repentance, and confession. Confession is made with the mouth. With the heart you believe, and with the mouth you make confession. Look at Romans 10:10. Wrong direction, says this, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. I already read that, but you see what I'm saying. With the mouth, you have to believe with the heart and confess with the mouth. Confession. Part of confession would be to say, Lord, I recognize my sinfulness. I recognize that I'm not saved. And we confess with our mouth and men are saved. We believe in our heart, we confess with our mouth. Every one of you have done that, haven't you? Don't you think we ought to share that with others? It's not good enough to say, I believe that Jesus was a good man, or I believe that he is the Son of God, but I have to repent of my sin and believe in my heart and confess with my mouth that he is Lord. What was it, 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if we confess, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things pass away, behold, all things become new. It doesn't happen until they confess with their mouth and believe in their heart. Then there's a transformation. The Holy Spirit comes in, and there's a transformation of every individual. Matthew 15, verse 16. Goes this, and Jesus said, Matthew 15, verse 16. And Jesus said, Are ye also yet without understanding? Do you not understand that whatsoever entereth in at the mouth goeth into the belly and is cast out into the draught? But those things which proceedeth out of the mouth cometh forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands defileth not a man. So what have we have to confess if we want to be forgiven. And it's not necessarily what you eat, it's what's in your heart. And it's what Jesus saying. What's in your heart, you must confess. Because all of us were evil. There's none righteous, no, not one. We've all been evil. And we all have the potential to be evil even now after we've been born again. While we must continue to confess and believe in Jesus, and we all have to do our part. We all must do our part. We all have a ministry of reconciliation. Look at 2 Corinthians 5:16, and I will close. 2 Corinthians 5:16. You know preachers have their part, of course, but that doesn't relieve you of your part, your responsibility. 2 Corinthians 5:16 through 18 says, wherefore, henceforth know we no man after the flesh, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, behold, all things are become new, and all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and have given us the ministry of reconciliation. In other words, he has restored us to fellowship with himself. We were separated from him, but now we've been reconciled and brought back into fellowship with Jesus Christ and with God. The sin and rebellion of men had severed that fellowship and caused hostility and alienation. But when we become a Christian, we are reconciled with him again. Aren't you glad for that? You're no longer separated from him. Through Christ's atoning death, God has removed the barrier of sin and opened the way for a sinner to return to God. When Jesus died, that was quite a feat. That he said, now the door is open for all men to approach God for salvation. I'm glad for the blood today. Oh, the blood, precious blood. Was it Jesus shed? Yeah, the redeeming blood of Jesus. I'm glad for that. I was thinking about the other day as I was doing some work. Just got to thinking about the blood. I'm thankful for the blood's covering. But he reconciled me through the blood. Through the blood. But it happens through our own personal repentance. I can't get saved for you, nor can you get saved for me or anybody else. If we could, the whole world would be saved. But we got to do it on our own. And I'm glad that he saved me. I'm so glad that the Lord saved me. Aren't you? Aren't you today? So, scripture, observation, application, and prayer. You need to understand that today. With a mouth of confession, we have a heart of repentance. If we confess with our mouth, believe in our heart, we're saved. Believe that today. I'm glad I'm saved. I'm glad you're saved. Man, how big a mess this would be if we weren't saved. If there weren't Christians somewhere saved, the world would really be in a mess. But because of Jesus, we have hope today. Amen. But would you